recipe for a good day brought to you by Little General Convenience Stores, your neighborhood store. Why fight the lines at the big box chains when Little General Convenience Stores has what you need? Selling only the best quality brands like Gorelick Farms, Boston Salads Prepared Foods, KM, and Purdue. Little General also sells lottery, tobacco products, and yes, of course, your stop for your daily newspapers. Weekly specials change every Monday, so check online at littlegeneral.com for this week's specials. Plus, littlegeneral.com is the place to go for the delicious recipes you heard here on A Recipe for a Good Day. So whether you're picking up food or products for your home, or if you're looking for food or coffee on the go, shop your neighborhood store. Little General Convenience Stores, open 8 days a week.
Easter Sunday morning, and Easter never looked so gay. Lovely ladies wearing new chapeaux, promenading with their bows. For is Easter Sunday morning.
That's right. Easter weekend has arrived. Welcome to Recipe for a Good Day, your Easter destination for your home needs. We've got you covered on this edition. We really do have you covered. We have your Easter brunches covered. We have your Easter lunch or dinner. If you're involving the world of ham, I'll be covering that. We even have your Easter lamb covered with Johnny Reynolds and our Reynolds wrapper. He'll be breaking down lamb for your Easter weekend. And yes, indeed, we are going to cover Easter eggs as well, all here on our Easter edition 2024 of Recipe for a Good Day. Of course, brought to you by the folks at Little General Convenience Stores, the franchise owners. We appreciate them sponsoring this weekly food get-together. And we're going to have our specials. We'll tell you what's on sale through your Easter weekend. But first, I want to tell you that they will be open Easter Sunday. All Little General locations will be open. Now, the closing times do vary, so you can check with your local Little General to see what time they do close. But I can tell you all Little General locations on your Easter Sunday will, in fact, be open till minimum 4 p.m. So that should cover much of your emergency needs or your planned needs for your Easter brunch, lunch, or dinner, as the earliest location will close at 4 p.m. So they'll be open throughout your Easter morning. They'll be open throughout your Easter afternoon. It's only approaching dinner time where some locations will start to close. But again, call your local Little General to find out what the closing times will be. We have, of course, your dessert pies ready for you at Little General. So if you are looking for your Easter desserts, they have the infamous pies, the restaurant, and cream pies available. We're going to start with your cream pies. We're talking apple cream pie. That's the one I'd like to try. The banana cream pie, the chocolate cream pie, which I've had several times. I'm not a chocolate guy, but I love their chocolate cream pie. And, of course, their pineapple cream pie. For the regular restaurant style pies available for you for your Easter weekend, we have apple, blueberry, coconut custard, and custard. Those are the eight dessert pies that can be picked up at the Cumberland Hill Road location at Little General. Stop by and grab your pie today while supplies last. As we move into the dinner, we're going to talk about Buddha Ball hams on today's program. It is a premium ham. We're going to tell you all about it. Why Buddha Ball ham? Stick around. Very shortly, we'll be getting into our ham discussion. And is there a difference? Oh, yes, there is a difference. But the Buddha Ball hams, just to cover the pricing, 19 to 22 pounds, $3.89 a pound, 14 to 18 pounds, $4.49 a pound, and 9 to 13 pounds, $4.89 a pound. Now, if you're good at mathematics, you're doing mathematics and say, well, that can be a costly ham. Yes, it can. It is worth every penny. As you'll say, it is worth it every bite you take. But for the smaller need, and this is wonderful that Little General has done this, in order to accommodate all homes, we want everybody to be able to enjoy the quality Triple M. Now, Buddha Ball is a Triple M product, so the Triple M boneless half hams are available. So what this allows you to do is actually get into even a smaller weight. So we have some of you, maybe you're two for dinner, maybe you're three, maybe you're four for dinner. You can get a 4 or 5 pound ham with the boneless half hams, and it'll fit your budget. It'll fit your dinner table, $5.49 a pound, but it'll give you the quality of the big bone-in Buddha ball hams, the whole hams. So you can get them either a whole ham or the boneless half ham. Remember, one of the benefits, too, about the boneless half ham is you're not factoring in any weight for bone, as they are boneless, but it's that same meat. What makes a Buddha ball ham a Buddha ball ham? Well, the main hams, the large hams, are bone-in hams with low sodium content because they have a healthier curing process. How much lower sodium? And this is really big. If you're dealing with cholesterol, you're dealing with blood pressure issues, ham is something that you enjoy sparingly. But this ham is 43% less sodium on average than other hams, especially shank hams, which can be a tough, salty meat. So you get what you pay for. We've talked about this before, about making the centerpiece for your holiday dinner flawless. And your first step to doing that is Little General convenience stores with the Buddha ball ham. It contains no MSG. It's a gluten-free product as well. So Triple M takes a lot of pride in their Buddha ball hams. They're fully cooked. They come with pop-up timers. Basically, you're going to heat, you're going to glaze, you're going to eat. We're going to go over that. But again, 43% less sodium than the hams you are going to get at other markets with Triple M Buddha ball hams. And we echo that with the boneless half hams by Triple M as well. Those $5.49 a pound. We'll have a lot more to talk about the Buddha ball hams a little bit down the road. But when you're buying it and you're pricing it, you have to consider what was just said. Neither ham, by the way, the Buddha ball ham or the boneless half ham, is spiral cut. These are uncut hams the way you want it to ensure that every slice you make is juicy, tender, and flavorful. The spiral hams, you lose. You can lose out on that edging. But not with the Buddha ball hams and not with the boneless half hams by Triple M. Make your Easter special. It all starts with that ham selection at Little General stores. Other items on sale this week include cube steak for $5.99 a pound. From KM, Polish veal loaf for $5.99 a pound. MeisterChef has a few offerings, including their bologna for $2.49 a pound and their cooked salami for $3.89 a pound. Triple M is busy with their Buddha ball hams and boneless half hams, but they're also bringing their roast beef to Little General stores this week, starting today at $8.89 a pound. From Deutschmacher, it's a honey ham. I love this honey ham, $5.98 a pound. I'm going to be picking up a pound of that. Even though I hope to be cooking a ham, I'm going to be getting that sliced honey ham for sandwiches. I can't get enough of ham. I love it, I love it, love it. Alfresco turkey breast, I'm currently working on a half pound of that, $8.89 a pound. I picked some up last week. It was excellent. Goes on sale today, $8.89 a pound. The Boston Salads potato salad is on sale for $3.99 a pound. A nice side on your Easter weekend. We've talked about this before, too. When you're making your side, so if you are talking about a Buddha ball ham, you're going to need some wonderful mashed potatoes. You can take it up an extra notch. Make the holiday specials with your mashed potatoes. Try using a heavy cream instead of milk to mix it. $4.49 a pound. It'll give you an incredible creamy potato. And you want to add a little sweetness, I always suggest drop a parsnip in there. Just one parsnip. Cut it up. Peel it. Cut it. Take it through the same process as your potatoes, and it'll give a nice, again, creamy sweetness to your mashed potatoes, just taking it up a notch on your Easter weekend. If you're not looking for the heavy cream, again, $4.49 a pint. They have half and half cream for $4.49 a quart available, both by Gorelick. And the aerosol whipped cream by Gorelick, 6.5 ounce can. Whipped cream, $3.89, again, 6.5 ounces. I'll let you know, though, the cream pies typically, the chocolate cream pie comes with a cream on top, but in my opinion, you never have too much cream on a pie. So those are some of the special items. And don't forget, you do have ham. What goes magnificently with a nice baked ham is baked beans. No need to start from scratch. When you go to Little General convenience stores, pick up some Mrs. Pettit's baked beans. And keep the memory of Mrs. Pettit alive with her baked beans with your Easter holiday dinner. So they have you covered from first course to dessert at Little General Convenience Stores. Again, open on your Easter Sunday. All locations open till a minimum of 4 p.m. We're going to get started in our Easter edition after a message from Little General Convenience Stores. Recipe for a good day brought to you by Little General Convenience Stores with locations for your shopping needs throughout the Blackstone Valley. 2-in-1 Socket, Manville Road, and Cumberland Hill Road. Gray Road, North Smithfield, Chapel Street in Burrowville, and Central Avenue in Pawtucket. Always hot, always fresh coffee stations to get your day started. Grab and go meals perfectly prepared for you, whether it's for an easy lunch to get you through your work day or to make an easy, satisfying dinner to end your day. And, of course, delicious deli items from top-of-the-line lunch meats to top-of-the-line steak and chicken products. Oh, and, of course, always fresh ground hamburg. Stay up to date on each week's sale items by going online at littlegeneral.com. Your convenience store with more. Little General, where you always get a smile, a please, and a thank you. Open every day, including today. Proud sponsors of Recipe for a Good Day, Little General Convenience Stores.
Easter. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Me, oh my, there's a lot to buy. There is shopping I must do.
Happy Easter to you, and we hope you have a happy Easter weekend, and it might start in your kitchen, and we have everything you need to get you covered. We're going to start off talking about Easter brunch. Of course, many families gather to attend church services on this holy weekend. And after church, it's customary to gather at a family member's house and have a nice brunch before you each go on your Easter Easter voyage. And maybe you're having an Easter egg roll, as I was talking with Roger Bouchard in the hallway earlier, the old Easter egg rolls, which I think were a lot more fun than the Easter egg hunts that continue today. The Easter egg rolls was fun. It was competitive. You'd roll the eggs across the lawn. You'd have Easter egg races. It was a little more engaging than the modern day greed of how many eggs can a person gather over the other person of the Easter egg hunt. But either way, you are gathering. You may want to have a brunch. And we're going to talk about brunch in our first segment. The second segment, we'll talk about hams. And then the third segment, we'll talk about, yes, Easter eggs themselves. So we're going to start off with a, why not? You need some biscuits if you're going to have a nice brunch. And this is a nice, fluffy biscuit recipe, which will give you the biggest, fluffiest biscuits in the history of the world. That's right. We're going superlative today. Of course, you can serve them with butter, preserves, honey, gravy. You can use them as dinner rolls even later on with your ham dinner. You get the picture. They go with everything. So you can actually prepare this several hours or up to a day ahead of time. And you might want to make a few batches if you've never made biscuits before, as you tweak your method to get exactly what you want. But the ingredients we're going to start you with a base. Now, it's not too onerous. You're talking about maybe 30 minutes of prep time, about 15 minutes of cook time. What we're giving you is a batch that should serve six. So we're going to give you 2 cups of all-purpose flour, 1 tablespoon of baking powder, 1 tablespoon of white sugar, 1 teaspoon of salt, and 1/3 cup of shortening, and 1 cup of milk. So it's very simple. Step one, preheat your oven. We're going to go hot. We're going to go 425 degrees Fahrenheit on your oven. Meanwhile, while that's heating up, you can whisk together your flour, your baking powder, your sugar, your salt, all in a large bowl. You can cut in shortening until the mixture resembles a coarse meal. Then gradually, slowly, stir in the milk, and you'll notice the dough will start to pull away from the sides of the bowl. Then turn out onto a floured surface, and you're going to knead it about 15, 20 times or so. And you're going to pat or roll the dough out to about 1 inch thick. You can cut the biscuits with a large cutter. If you don't have one, it's so simple. Just use like a juice glass, dip the rim in flour, and you can actually use that juice glass to cut your buns. You can repeat it until all your dough is used. Then just brush off the excess flour. Put the biscuits into an ungreased baking sheet. When it comes to baking sheets, you'll hear greased or ungreased. It makes a difference. For these biscuits, an ungreased baking sheet. And you're just going to bake these biscuits in your preheated oven. You'll notice the edges begin to brown in probably about 13 or 15 minutes or so. So again, you can prepare the biscuits ahead of time, or you can turn the dough out onto an aluminum foil that has either been floured or lightly buttered or coated with cooking spray. And you can actually roll up the foil until it's sealed and refrigerated. Don't be surprised if your biscuits rise even higher because the baking powder has had more time to enact in the dough. So by actually preparing it the night before, just the dough, and again, layering it out on foil, treated foil, and rolling it, you can refrigerate that dough to the next day. And, of course, that'll give you even higher, fluffier, big biscuits for your brunch. Let's talk about a hearty skillet for breakfast. And we're going to give you a nice dish here to make. Again, prep time about 45, cook time about 45. We're going to start out with 2 pounds of potatoes cubed. You can go ahead and use your russet potatoes. Those are fine. We have a half a pound of bacon. The good news is you're probably going to buy a pound of bacon, which will allow you to eat bacon while you work with bacon. And that is the happiest I am in my kitchen, I can tell you that. 1 green bell pepper sliced. 1 red bell pepper sliced, 1 onion sliced, 2 cups of sliced mushrooms, salt and pepper to taste, and of course, 3 cups of a shredded American cheese, along with 8 eggs. So, the steps, rather simple, actually. Just bring a large pot of water to a boil. Add in your potatoes. You're going to cook them until they're tender, but still firm, about 12 to 15 minutes, and drain them out. Don't let them become mushy. Or too saturated. Place your bacon in your skillet or your broiler pan, however you do cook your bacon, and you're going to cook that bacon until they're evenly brown. And then you're going to cut the bacon into small chunks and set it aside. It's okay to par-bake your bacon a bit. Nobody likes an overcooked bacon. I understand that. So if you undercook your bacon a little bit, that's okay because it is going to go back into the oven. Bottom line is place your potatoes in the skillet. You're going to cook them on medium heat. You're going to brown those potatoes, flipping those potatoes to prevent any sticking. You can stir in your green peppers, your red pepper, your onion, and your mushroom, and you can continue to cook them until the vegetables do turn tender, and then stir in the cooked bacon and season it up with that salt and pepper. Continue, cover it with the shredded cheese, and continue to cook and turn the mixture, and then the cheese will melt throughout, much like a steak and cheese sandwich. You keep your heat low while cooking those eggs, however, and cook the eggs to your preferred style. Then place the potatoes in a large serving dish. You top it with the eggs, about 2 per serving, and you have a very easy but hearty breakfast skillet. That goes great with either toast or biscuits, as we mentioned before, or even some muffins if you have some blueberry muffins or something will go well with that. A much easier prep, though, for you is a nice, easy, cheesy breakfast casserole. We talked about casseroles extensively last month. You're talking about 10 minutes to prep, just about an hour to cook, and, of course, time to cool. This will serve 12. So if you have a good amount of people coming to your brunch, a fair amount, a casserole might be the easy and pleasing way to go. For this 12-person, 12-serving casserole, we're going to use a 9-by-13-inch casserole dish. We're going to use 1 pound of sliced bacon diced. We're going to use 1 medium sweet onion chopped. 9 large eggs, take them up back, lightly beat them, 4 cups of frozen shredded hash brown potatoes, you can get those most at any store, thawed, 2 cups of shredded cheddar cheese, 1.5 cups of small curd cottage cheese. I love me some cottage cheese. 1.25 cups of shredded Swiss cheese. First thing you're going to do is preheat that oven to 350 degrees. Grease your casserole dish. Then heat a large skillet over medium-high heat. That is to cook and stir the bacon and the onion until the bacon is evenly brown, just about 10 minutes. Make sure you do drain. Transfer that bacon and onion into that large bowl. Then stir in your eggs, potatoes, your cheddar cheese, your cottage cheese, and your Swiss cheese. And when you get that all mixed in that large bowl, simply pour that mixture into your prepared baking dish. And then it's simple. Bake that casserole dish in the preheated oven. The eggs will start to set. The cheese will melt in about 45 to 50 minutes. And then take it out of the oven and let it stand and settle for at least 10 to 15 minutes before you cut and serve a very easy but pleasing cheesy breakfast casserole. But the one that caught my eye and my taste buds is called overnight blueberry French toast. It's a casserole. It's made the night before, and it'll be perfect and eye-pleasing as well to your Easter brunch. It's got that fresh taste of blueberries, and it's covered with a nice, rich blueberry sauce. It's a one-of-a-kind dish. This one's got my attention. What we're going to start with is about 12 slices. By the way, 15 minutes to prep. Okay, but again, it's done the night before. This should serve 10. 12 slices of day-old bread. Cut them into 1-inch cubes. 2 8-ounce packages of cream cheese, and you cut that into 1-inch cubes. 1 cup of fresh blueberries. 12 large eggs beaten. 2 cups of milk. 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract. Go pure. Don't go artificial. And 1/3 cup of maple syrup. Go genuine, go organic, go real. Stay away from the garbage processed, what they call syrup. For your blueberry sauce, you're going to need 1 cup of white sugar, 1 cup of water, 2 tablespoons of cornstarch, 1 cup of fresh blueberries, and 1 tablespoon of butter. So here are your directions for our featured breakfast item today for our brunch, overnight blueberry French toast. Step 1, prepare your casserole. You're going to be lightly greasing that 9x13 baking dish. Then you're going to arrange half of the bread cubes in the dish, and you're going to top those with cream cheese cubes. Then sprinkle the blueberries over the cream cheese, and then top it with the remaining breadcrumbs. Meanwhile, whisk your eggs, your milk, your vanilla extract, and that syrup together in a large bowl until it becomes well combined. And then pour it over the bread cubes, cover it, and refrigerate this overnight. Then the next day arrives. You'll be glad you did this. Remove the casserole from the refrigerator. As we talked about, you want to climb it to room temperature, so let it sit on the counter in the room, covered for about 30 minutes before baking. I say covered because I have cats, and the cats will be eating out of that casserole dish, so cover it. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees. Bake the casserole in that preheated oven, covered for 30 minutes, and then uncover and continue baking it until the center gets firm, the surface gets lightly browned. You're looking at an additional 25 to 30 minutes. Meanwhile, let's prepare the blueberry sauce. Mix the sugar, the water, the cornstarch together in a medium saucepan. Bring it to a boil and cook it, stirring it constantly for about 3 to 4 minutes. Stir in the blueberries, reduce that heat to low, and you're going to simmer it until the blueberries burst. All the blueberries should burst quickly in about 10 minutes, and then stir in the butter. And you can serve the portions of the casserole on plates, and you can pour that warm, amazing blueberry syrup right over the top of it. This is the one that got my taste buds going. I can't wait to try it. I do love blueberries and French toast. Overnight blueberry French toast for your Easter brunch. And with that, you're going to need something to wash it down with. Why not? We got 2 offerings for you. For the adults, hey, a nice mimosa for your Easter brunch. A wonderful change from your everyday orange juice and champagne mimosa. So we're going to use 1 12-ounce can of an apricot mango nectar. one 12-ounce can of pineapple juice, 3/4 cup of water, one 6-ounce can of frozen orange juice concentrate, thawed and undiluted, and one bottle of cold champagne. Very easy. Stir together the apricot nectar, the pineapple juice, the water, and orange juice concentrate in a large pitcher. It'll combine and then simply pour in the bottle of sparkling champagne just before serving. And a nice party mimosa, a way to get your Easter going for the adults. And the kids are going to want something orange to drink, too, so they feel part of it. So for the kids at your Easter brunch, we have just an easy Easter Day smoothie. It's bright, cheerful, delicious, and it brings some sunshine into your Easter Sunday for sure. So for the kids, we have one mango peeled, seeded, cut into chunks. One banana peeled and chopped. One cup of orange juice, one cup of vanilla non-fat yogurt. And this should serve about four, and it only takes 10 minutes to whip together because there's one step. When you're going to place the mango, the banana, the orange juice, and the yogurt in a blender, and you're going to blend it until smooth. Serve it in clear glasses, and you can even give them a cute little bendy straw there to drink it with. So for the kids, we have this wonderful Easter Day smoothie. For the adults, we have the mimosa variation. And that's a good way to start your Easter Sunday with a hearty, satisfying brunch. We are going to return. We'll be talking ham when we do return to the live segment. Meanwhile, we have Reynolds Wrap ahead. Ladies, are you ready to introduce Reynolds Wrap today?
That Reynolds Wrap by here, Betty?
You betcha, Pat.
Reynolds Wrap makes this whole cooking and cleanup thing so easy.
Reynolds Wrap makes good food better.
The great thing about Reynolds Wrap is it's the one wrap you can depend on.
Just a little Reynolds Wrap can do more for a woman than any other wrap.
There will always be special recipes for those special days that hopefully create more family-friendly moments, such as the case for Easter, the most important day in the Christian calendar, which offers a springtime array of delicacies, and in 2024 may possibly be the earliest that I can recall. Now, last week we focused on ham, in which your local Little General store has in stock. Buddha ball. Oh, yeah. This week, I'd like to take a more traditional approach to your dinner plans, my fellow gastronomes, in the form of something that, unfortunately, is not as popular. Lamb. No pun intended by knowing it's Easter and Jesus is known as the Lamb of God. Today's marketplace features as many cuts of lamb as there are pork, and obviously with its distinctive flavor. Lamb was a bit gamey in flavor when I was a younger guy, but over those decades, farmers have upgraded their techniques to ensure a higher quality of meat and a lower pronounced gaminess. As meat production and consumption, including that of sheep, also known as mutton, is projected to continue growing, special attention should be paid to livestock product quality. And you know, there are some farms in around this area that sell lamb. It's necessary to determine the nutritive value of each type of meat and identify the factors affecting its chemical composition and consequently the quality of consumed food. Sheep are recognized as a good source of valuable, high-quality meat. Research has confirmed that sheep meat is rich in many vitamins, minerals, and essential PUFAs. Nevertheless, in the case of mutton, the meat of adult animals, is frequently underrated as a culinary product because of stereotypes associated with it. Consumer unwillingness to consume mutton is likely due to its excessive fattiness, which is frequently associated with inferior sensory attributes. But that is so not the case. Science reported similar findings that confirm the higher palatability of lamb. However, they state that the aversion of consumers to so-called mutton flavor is virtually insignificant if the content of back fat and intramuscular fat is reduced. Remember, intramuscular fat is known as marbling, and that is good. Remember, more fat, more flavor. According to the present authors, this undervalued meat deserves far more attention, especially considering the marked and significant reductions in animal fattiness in recent years and the increasing importance of the product of sheep as meat sources. Obviously, selective breeding of sheep for meat production has affected the chemical composition of the obtained meat. Take into account the fact that product quality is rapidly becoming a chief consumer concern, and including those who are in the kitchens. Comparative studies are needed that focus on the chemical fungal composition and a profile of fat content in the muscle tissues of lambs and adult sheep bred for meat production. The research results can be helpful for promoting the consumption of meat from adult animals as a high-value product, which should consequently improve the profitability of sheep production. Remember, if you buy a leg of lamb, there are some questions you need to have the answers for. Do I want a whole leg or half a leg? Bone in or boneless? How many folks do I plan on serving? Do I get Australian lamb, American lamb, or British lamb? How do I season it? How much fat and silver skin does it have? Once those questions have been considered, you'll have a plan for an exceptional meal. Now, the easiest cut to find in any market is a lamb leg, usually one of the back legs. If you have a good relationship with your butcher, he can either trim it the way it should be, or better yet, show you how to do it, because then you can save some money. Because a lamb leg contains a few muscles, you'll need to pound it to an even thickness, I'd say around 3/4 of an inch. Then you may have a seasoning blend that has to have rosemary and lemon zest, which are far and away so good with lamb. Then you roll it completely, secure it with butcher's twine. Now, you want to get some color on your meat, so before you roast it in the oven, you want to put your meat on medium-high in a skillet and searing it on all sides. Just take your time to ensure it gets that wonderful crust. Then, onto a rack on a rimmed baking sheet and into a 375 oven for 45 minutes to get to an internal temperature of 125 degrees for medium rare. Cut the twine, but not the meat, for at least 15 to 18 minutes to allow the natural juices flow back into the meat fibers. Now, any vegetable combo could be right for this recipe. Now, if you had a special way to make a homemade gravy...
Where's the lamb sauce?
Go for it. We here at WNRI wish you a most blessed Easter, hoping you eat well, cook well, and use the time to get closer through food. For Recipe for a Good Day, sponsored by Little General, I'm Johnny Reynolds, and that's a wrap.
Reynolds Wrap, wouldn't you hate to be without it?
Little General Stores is ready to serve you every day with great locally roasted coffee, as well as the best prices for all your deli meats. Little General Convenience Stores, we're here for you.
In your Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it, fellow in the Easter parade. I'll be all in clover, and when they look us over, we'll be the proudest couple in the Easter parade on the
Does it get better than that? Judy Garland, Fred Astaire, Easter Parade. I hope that somebody's got it on television this weekend. I hope to be able to watch that memorable class. It doesn't get more nostalgic than that, does it? We're going to be talking about ham right now, as we talked about the Buddha Ball hams on sale, 19 to 22 pound hams, $3.89 a pound, 14 to 18 pound hams, $4.49 a pound, and 9 to 13 pound hams, $4.89 a pound. This is the Cadillac, the premium of hams. There's no ham like it. All hams are subpar. Am I prejudiced against all other hams? Yes, I am. There's a lot more work. You have to do things to shanks that you don't have to do to Buddha Ball hams. They're already tender. They're already low salt, so you don't have to do a lot of wet brining or cold soaking to draw that sodium out. So it's a great time saver. It's just a more premium meat with less waste and less fat as well. No gluten. It's a gluten-free product that is important for many with a gluten allergy. So it's a gluten-free product. It's 43% less sodium. And for those of you who saying it's just a little too much, well, then they have the Triple M, the same company that produces the Buddha Ball hams, boneless half hams, and those are $5.49 a pound on sale. So that'll allow you to get like a 3, 4, maybe 5 pound half a ham. And remember, it is boneless, so all the weight you're getting is edible meat, and that's perfect for, say, just 2, 3, or 4 people. You want the quality of the Buddha Ball ham without the major expense of the large cuts. Their little general steps up to the plate, takes care of you, wants everybody to have a wonderful Easter dinner. Boneless half hams may be for you at $5.49 a pound. Either way, they have you covered. I always say buy the most ham you can afford because you'll be glad to have it down the road. I like to look past the holiday meal and say, how many meals can I get off of this cut of meat? That's how I roll it. So most hams you buy, and we're going to cover a few things first. Remember, most hams you're going to buy are cured and already fully cooked. So it's a matter of reheating, and this is that. So one of the major mistakes people make, let's go over some of the mistakes people make with hams, is not knowing the differences in hams. There are differences in hams, absolutely. And if you're not sure which size ham is best for you, we have a calculation for that coming up. But we covered why the Buddha Ball hams are so deeply superior. And they are. Don't just take my word for it. Again, gluten-free, no MSG, 43% less sodium. They're fully cooked. They come with a pop-up timer for reheating. And if you look, if you need to watch your salt intake, like I do, due to high blood pressure issues, sodium's a no-no, but we can enjoy a Buddha Ball ham at Easter, 43%. And it is the, as I say, Cadillac of hams. So know the difference between your ham, and it all starts with knowing the company Triple M at Low General convenience stores. Cutting your two thick slices, if you're doing a country ham style, could be a problem. Cutting too thick of slices would lead to a salty, hard piece of meat ending up on people's plates. So if you are going country style, then you want to slice it very thin to win. Buying ham with too large of water contents. Hams, remember, that have higher water percentages tend to be cheaper, but you're missing out on flavor. That is not the case with Triple M. You are getting tons of flavor. So look for hams that are labeled ham. Stay clear of those that have water added or ham and water product. And you can usually feel it in the package. You feel it swimming in the package. It just might not be for you. And take a good look at your ham for us. They're often sold vacuum packed with a liquid in the package. Shows the ham has been packed for a long time. And there's a little tip for you. So avoid purchasing a ham if you spot cloudy liquid. It could be an aged ham. When you get the ham home, take it out of the pack, rinse it under cold water to wash off the excess salt as well. And if you want an easy to carve ham, well, then again, you are back to your Buddha Ball ham, but certainly shanks and spirals can be a little easier to carve. The whole ham, remember, that's the whole back of the leg of the pig, and it often is split and sometimes sold as butt or a portion of a shank portion. Believe it or not, not cooking your ham in any liquid, big mistake, but people will do that. So if you want succulent flavor ham, of course you do. Forget calling in the braising liquid for backup. You risk your holiday ham coming out disappointingly dry. So cook your ham. You can try chicken broth, orange juice, apple juice, cider vinegars. We've done it with Coca-Cola braises, but you could make your own with water, cloves, cardamom, anise, sage, for instance, to add nice flavor. Scoring your ham too deep. This took me a couple of years to perfect. I was trying to score my ham using the length of the blade, and I was talking to Noel over at Low General Convenience Stores on Cumberland Hill Road about scoring hams, because that's what I do. And he gave me a great piece of advice of just use the tip, like you're holding a dart. You know, if you throw darts, and just flick your wrist. Don't move your arm. Just flick your wrist. And the last ham I scored using just the tip and flicking my wrist for movement instead of moving my arm and actually trying to slice made a dramatic difference. Scoring your ham too deep is only going to dry out the meat of the ham. Why do you score a ham in the first place? Well, you score a ham to make an indent in the fat cap. So you're only going to score the fat cap, and you only want to go about halfway through. You want to leave at least a quarter of that fat cap sealed up. But by putting crisscrosses at the top of your ham, the glaze seeps in. It distributes maybe the sweet maple, the honey, the brown sugar, whichever glaze you're going to use, into the ham already. But if you go too deep, it'll dry out. So do be careful. You only want to score it about a quarter of an inch. Cook it low. Cook it slow. Glazing your ham too early is another mistake. We want to refrain from glazing your ham until the final 30 minutes of the cooking. You can turn your oven up at that last 30 minutes, though, to make the glaze cook nicely into the rind of the ham. But you do not want to glaze your ham at the beginning of the process. Also, your ham might come with seasoning packets. Don't just rely on that. Cloves, orange slices, putting it into the rind, brown sugar, Dijon mustard, something you're going to need for a lot of glazes. So if you're out and about and you don't have any and you want to make your own glaze, pick up Dijon mustard. 9 out of 10 times you're going to use it in a glaze. And make sure it is Dijon, a nice smooth Dijon. Uncovering the ham too quick can make it dry out. So you do want to tent it with aluminum foil. But remember, an oven bag, if you can get one nice and big that can fit your ham, is an even better idea. Go the extra mile. The air in your oven's dry. So as the oven bag is in your ham, it'll cook more gently and actually evenly. It'll trap the juices and create a more moist environment. When it comes to ham, the moister, the better. Don't pre-slice the ham before cooking. That's a major mistake. The Triple M hams do not come pre-sliced, and that's how you want it. Again, low and slow. Don't use a high temperature. Don't overcook it. If you don't have a meat thermometer, pick one up. Invest in one. The digital ones, you don't have to calibrate. So if calibrating the analog meat thermometers is a problem, the new digital ones, you buy them, you put the battery in, they're ready to go. You don't have to zero them out or anything. Nice and easy. Now, how much ham to buy is a big question. You want enough ham to go around the table. I want enough for leftovers. I like to have it 3 months down the road as well. So a good rule of thumb, buy a half pound of ham for every person if you're purchasing a boneless ham. If you're purchasing a bone-in ham, you're going to go closer to a pound per person, really 3/4 of a pound. So if it's a boneless, easy, half pound per person should be plenty with the sides you're offering on your Easter dinner. But if it's a bone-in ham, take it up, average out about 3/4 of a pound of ham per person. And remember, when you do glaze at the end, turn up the heat to cook it in nice and easy in under half an hour. Be careful if you do use a bag that you don't burn yourself with the steam and the heat that gets captured inside the oven bag. That is something that you really want to be careful for. Not letting your ham rest, obviously, a big problem. We talk about that all the time. Hams do hold a lot of water. So when the protein's exposed to heat, the water moves to the surface, which creates a dry center. Letting that ham rest, the bigger the ham, the longer you're going to have it rest, gives the moisture time to reabsorb throughout the meat. You're looking, even on a small ham, like a half ham, at least 10 minutes. But you can go 20, 25 on some of the big, major hams as well to give them proper time so that they can reabsorb that flavor and fluid so you don't get a dry center of that ham. Removing the skin is a big problem. Don't remove the skin when it's done either. If you're going to be freezing hunks of it, keep that skin on and fat caps on as well. It's crucial for the reheating process because as you defrost, if it's frozen, and reheat, again, that skin, that fat cap, it's going to help keep your meat moist and return flavor to that meat. So there it is. Choose your glaze carefully. Now we're going to take you to the process of cooking your ham to perfection. And it's very simple because mostly, again, it's a reheat situation. So you're not recreating the wheel, so to speak. So it's simple. You're going to preheat your oven. Where are we going? We are going to 350. Again, low and slow on your ham. This will ensure your ham cooks evenly and thoroughly. Don't forget, I know this sounds stupid, but everything I've read on hams has this step, so that tells you enough people are doing it. I feel sheepish saying it, but don't forget to remove your ham from your packaging. Heat your ham. Cook your ham for approximately, if you have a 10-pound ham, you're going to cook it for about an hour. If it's not frozen, keep in mind this is a defrosted ham in your refrigerator. Make your honey glaze while your ham is cooking. We're going to go with a honey glaze here. Combine brown and cane sugar, your spices, your honey powder, and a little bit of oil of orange. Add 3 tablespoons of water. Stir it over medium heat. The glaze should come to a boil. 10 minutes before your ham is fully heated, remove it from the oven. 30 minutes before your ham is fully heated, you're going to start checking that temperature that last hour about every 15 minutes. I'm trying to get it as close to that key temperature as possible before I glaze it. You can up that heat a little bit, as we talked about, to help that glaze cake in there really good at the end of your cooking time. And again, we talked about the size of it. Again, about a half a pound per. If it's the only main dish, you may want to up it. If you're going to underdo your sides, you may want to go with a pound on a bone-in ham, but 3/4 pound is usually good. It's a perfect honey glaze. Again, high ingredients for your glaze. Don't shortchange your glaze. Don't go cheap on your honey. If you're going to honey glaze, you've got a Buddha ball ham. Don't shortchange your product at the end with a cheap glaze. The higher the quality ingredient, the better it will be. Make sure you balance your sweet and tangy flavors. A good old honey glaze should have a balance. Use a combination of honey, brown sugar, vinegar even to achieve that balance. Go with depths of spices like cinnamon, cloves, nutmeg. Complex your glaze a little bit. Experiment. And you can actually taste your glaze. You're not dealing with things like raw eggs and so. So you can actually get a flavor profile as of the glaze before you even put it on there. And if you don't like it before you apply it, you're not going to like it after you apply it. So it's very important. Taste that glaze as you're experimenting with it. And brush it on for multiple layers. It's not a one and done. For a nice glossy finish, you're going to have to brush your glaze on multiple times during the cooking process. And even I do it one more time at the end, just as it's coming out to rest. And you have to let each layer set in, though, before applying the next. It's like painting your walls. You're going to paint and let it dry. You're going to paint and let it dry. You're going to paint and let it dry. It's the same concept when you are glazing your ham. And I hope your holiday ham comes out to be everything that your family deserves it to be. Hopefully we gave you some helpful tips here on our Easter ham. We'll call it 101. Remember, though, if we go through recipes today for your Easter Sunday and you want them, you can simply email the program and ask for the recipe of your choice. I'll be glad to send that out to you. If you have a question from your kitchen or a recipe you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you. Just email the show at askthechef@wnri.com. That's askthechef@wnri.com.
I forgot to listen to Recipe for a Good Day. How do I go shopping now? What's on sale this week? I don't know what to feed Funky the Monkey.
Well, Anna Marie, we have you covered. All at LittleGeneral.com. That's where you can find out what's on sale this week at all Little General locations. And now can listen to past editions of Recipe for a Good Day. Just go to LittleGeneral.com. You'll see the tab for the weekly flyer. Click that. You'll see the specials this week at all Little General locations. And at the bottom of the page, you'll see the link to listen to Recipe for a Good Day. So if you miss a show or are unable to write down a recipe, now you can go listen anytime at your time at LittleGeneral.com.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail, the hippity-hopping Easter's on its way. Bringing every girl and boy baskets full of Easter joy, things to make your Easter bright and gay. He's got jelly beans for Tommy, colored eggs for Sister Sue. There's an orchid for your mommy, oh, and an Easter bonnet too. Oh, here comes Peter.
That's right, Peter Cottontail is going to be hopping down that bunny trail Easter Sunday here this weekend. And that means, yes, for some families out there, you'll be taking your first venture into coloring Easter eggs with the kids. And I can remember my first Easter egg coloring experience. Was it successful? Well, the kids had a good time. Was it messy? Yes. Did the eggs come out perfect? Heck no. So I figured we'd put together a little how to make Easter eggs, colored Easter eggs, at home. So as we get ready for this holiday tradition, we're going to talk about dyeing Easter eggs with food coloring. You don't need much to get started. You're talking about food coloring. Liquid food coloring works best for dyeing eggs. But any brand, any colors that you love the most. And, of course, with the Easter season and spring, color is everything. Food coloring, again, liquid preference. White vinegar, second ingredient for homemade Easter eggs, plain old-fashioned white vinegar. You don't want to use any other fancy vinegar options. You definitely don't want a malt vinegar. And you need clear glasses. Any heat-safe cup, bowl, mug will work for dyeing Easter eggs. But clear glasses help you get a better idea of what color your dye is before giving your eggs the plunge. The first step, buy the eggs. The second step, make hard-boiled eggs. Do you have to? Can you? The big question, can you dye a non-hard-boiled egg? Can you dye a raw egg? Yes, technically. Very risky. It's more likely to crack. Once it's cracked, you ruin your whole batch of dye. So, yeah, hard-boiled eggs is the way to go. And just like if it does crack and gets inside the eggs, remember, it is safe to eat. It's food coloring after all. So we are going to make those hard-boiled eggs. You place as many eggs as you want in a saucepan. You're going to cover them with water. You want about an inch of water covering the top of the eggs because you're going to need them to float up. Then bring the water to a boil. Take the pan off the heat. Cover it. Let it sit in there for about 12 to 15 minutes. Drain the pan. Cool the eggs by running them under cold water. You don't have to keep, once the water is in a boil, you have the eggs in there. You don't have to keep those eggs in a raging boil. Again, better chance that they'll split. You can, of course, make those hard-boiled eggs the night before you dye them as well. So boiling the eggs in water and dyeing them will cause the color to run off, and then you'll be back to a plain old eggs once it's done. So you can't boil them afterwards. The eggs, hard-boiled, less likely to crack and cause a mess in your dye. Preparing the dye is very easy. Again, you're dealing with food coloring. You can prep a few heat-proof mugs or bowls. You want one of each color that you plan to mix. So in each cup, you're going to pour about a half a cup of boiling water, a teaspoon of vinegar, and the food coloring of your choice, between 10 and 20 drops of food coloring, depending on the shade and intensity of the color you look. Pale coloring will have a more delicate finish. Darker colors, bright and candy-like. And you can even experiment if you can't get. If you have some basic colors like red and yellow, you can mix them to get an orange. You can mix red and blue for purple. And, of course, we all know yellow and blue make green. So now it's dyeing the Easter eggs. That can be the messy part, especially for kids. So they do have some wire egg holders. But you know the method I think I like the best is take your... this is something I didn't learn my first year doing it with the kids, is your whisk. You have whisks. The wires of a whisk are movable, and it should hold a hard-boiled egg. So it just makes it a little bit more foolproof. It's not going to fall. It's not going to splash. You can actually insert the hard-boiled egg inside your whisk, and then you can actually use the whisk to dip the egg into the colored water. No splashing. The eggs don't roll away. Whatever you use, no wooden utensils. The wood will actually take on the dye. So whatever it is, make sure no wood. And you really don't want the kids sticking their fingers in the dye. Their fingers will get dyed. They're going to wipe it on their clothes. It's just, you don't want that mess. So I really suggest a whisk. And if you don't have enough whisks for every kid, you can pick them up very cheap for about $1.25 in any Dollar Tree. They've got whisks over there that'll handle it. So I think the cleanest way to deal with it with a kid is the whisk. I love that concept. Decorated half dozen egg cartons for storing. Let the kids decorate those egg cartons, and you can store. You remove the eggs from the dye. Let them dry in paper towels or right on the cardboard carton. Once the tops of the eggs are dry, you can flip them so the bottoms can dry as well. You can store them in the fridge. Remember, they are food until they are done. If you're playing an Easter egg hunt, use your plastic eggs instead of these real eggs. Because you don't want to be looking for a hard-boiled egg 2 weeks after you've hidden it. trust me, you just don't want to do that. So hopefully that gets you ready and your family ready for your Easter egg hunt or roll. Remember, take those eggs outside, have a nice Easter egg roll. Easter egg races can be a lot more fun than just your traditional egg hunt. Go back to the old days and have an Easter egg roll. But wherever it is, we hope your family and friends will gather this Easter and celebrate the weekend for whatever it means to you. And may Little General convenience stores be there for you, as they will be open. Each Little General location will be open till a minimum of 4 p.m. on Easter Sunday for your needs. Again, the Buddha Ball hams, 9 to 22 pounds, $3.89 a pound, 14 to 18 pounds, $4.49 a pound, 9 to 13 pounds, $4.89 a pound. For the smaller families, the boneless half hams will give you the quality of Triple M ham with a lower unit cost due to the weight. $5.49 a pound could be perfect for a family of 2 to 4. Also, your pies, remember, they are available, both restaurant and cream pies available. For your cream pies, you have your apple, your banana, your chocolate, and your pineapple cream. For your restaurant regular pies, you have your apple, your blueberry, your coconut custard, and your custard. And you might need some whipped cream for those pies. From Gorelick Farms, the aerosol canned whipped cream, $3.89 a pound. And the perfect complement to your Buddha Ball ham, don't forget, Mrs. Pettit baked beans, available at Little General stores. So we thank you for joining us on our Easter edition of Recipe for a Good Day. And for many, it's a rejoiceful Sunday, as the cause for the season for many Christians around the world, the rebirth of Christ and your promise of afterlife. So happy, blessed weekend. Easter weekend to you, your family, your friends, Rhode Island, and America.
Oh, a happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus wore. Oh, when he wore. When Jesus wore. He washed my sins away. Happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.